Oh, Dad, I have a proposal for you. Mm-hmm. Seems there's a woman in Roz's building that would like to go out with you. Roz says that she's got a wonderful personality.
Oh, I guess that means I'm the pretty one.
That's cute. That's from Frasier, and you know how that stereotype goes, that you either have a good personality or you're good looking, and it's a way to soften the blow if you feel like the person is not that good looking and you try to sell the person to somebody else. Well, I'll tell you, I met my husband on a blind date, and our parents fixed us up. And we have been happily married for a few decades now, and it is phenomenal. So I wouldn't necessarily just look at blind dates and just say, it's not going to work, or I don't want to go through it. You can make blind dates real short if you're looking to find a partner for yourself. You don't have to put in an entire evening going out to eat and then the movies. In fact, if you go to the movies, you really don't find much about another person's character because you're both sitting there watching the screen for an hour and a half or whatever the length of the movie is. You can just plan a small, go to a deli for lunch or something and try to meet somebody and get to know them. And dating is one of the many issues you can call me about. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. My show is The Rational Basis of Happiness. And now let's turn to the phones. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. You're dealing with a problem with your neighbor?
Yeah, I call it a bad neighbor. It's not a drug addict or a noisemaker or somebody who's making our life intolerable, but I guess they took issue with basic misunderstandings, neighbor to neighbor. And they're right across the street from us, and it's really been bugging my husband that they're cold-shouldering.
I didn't hear the word.
Cold shouldering,
giving you, mm-hmm. Okay, their nose up in the air when you walk by or when they see
right.
you.
When the car goes, we wave, they don't wave back.
Okay, so they're taking an air of moral superiority. Is this a husband and wife team?
Pardon?
Is this a husband and wife team across the street, or is it just a single person? Who is it? Help me.
It's husband and wife, and they have two young boys, and seems to us as if the young boys may have even been instructed to show some moral superiority.
Okay, you like that term, huh? It captures what they're doing.
Yes,
right, and people, when people feel hurt, then many times if they don't feel, if they say to themselves, it's not you, see, there's no use even trying to get through to Debbie, you know, it doesn't make any sense. She and her husband are just unreachable, or they hurt us so badly, I don't even want to try, or we know their type of people, you know, we know it. They did this to us, and that's the end of the story. Then communication breaks down. It's like someone cuts the telephone wires. And right. I know there are no more telephone wires anymore, huh? We all have cell phones.
I get your point, though.
Yeah. So tell me what the misunderstanding was, and who's in your home. Is it you and your hubby? Do you have little ones, too?
No, just my husband and I with two older children that are in and out, and we've known these neighbors for a number of years. They've been in our home.
Okay, so these were former friends. And how old are your kids, just so I get a visual?
25 and 26,
okay.
And their children are probably 12 and 14 or 11 and 13, somewhere in
okay,
that neighborhood.
Okay, that's fine, yeah. And what was the misunderstanding? You've known them for many years and you've gotten along for quite a while?
We thought so.
Okay.
It was a joking call that my husband placed to them saying, we're having a party, we understand that there's a fight on television and we're coming over for the party. And oddly enough, they gathered people and never called my husband and said, come on over to the party. This sounds very petty when I'm saying it.
Yeah, I'm not following it quite. You call them and said that, who's having a party?
My husband jokingly said, you're having a party, and the fight's going to be on your TV at the party, and we're coming over. He was joking with him.
Oh, okay, playing around, like something.
Playing around,
yeah.
Right, a guy-to-guy kind of joking, playing around thing. Well, they organized a party.
They did. So they took your husband seriously and planned a whole party.
They did.
And it was a spontaneous party. It's like in the old days, I can remember people used to say, come as you are. You call somebody up and said, come the way you are dressed right now. And so it could be rollers in the hair or pajamas on. So this was like a spontaneous party?
Well, it wasn't that day. It was about a week later.
Okay.
And then my husband never heard from them, so we didn't know that they had actually acted on his joke, and they expected him to be there.
Yeah.
So long story short, they called at the last minute and said, the fight's about to come on. Are you coming over?
Yeah.
And at that point, my husband could not, because long story short, again, he happened to have invited an old buddy of his over who was going through a nasty divorce, and he was sort of nursing him through the situation.
Yeah.
So our neighbor across the street took offense. We tried to explain, but the explanation I got lost somehow. My husband sent a note. And, again, offense because my husband sent the note on his business stationery, so they took offense to that. And now...
Your husband sent a note on what?
On his stationery, which is business stationery,
yeah.
But that's sort of a guy thing, too. He didn't do that purposely to show any kind of, you know.
Okay, so you're wondering what to do at this stage, right?
Yeah,
I
would like to make the neighbor... neighborly feeling come back.
And why don't you, and I am, my guess is because you've had a long-term history with them, it isn't like you just moved into this neighborhood. My guess is that they're missing it too, but they've painted themselves in a corner, this moral superiority corner, and they don't know how to get out of it either. So sometimes what helps is to say, I miss us getting together, or I miss that, that camaraderie we had, or you remind them of a fun time you had together where you were in hysterics because, maybe the lawn clippings were dumped on someone's lawn, you know, something funny that happened, or when the kids were young. You remind them of one or two fun events and say, I miss those times. And then put the problem in their lap. Tell us what you, we would love to make amends somehow. Help us understand how to go about doing that. Because you don't know what they're wanting. The note didn't help. The personal apology didn't help. You can't continue to joke about it because they're hurt. I mean, they're hurting. So you need to hear their hurt without over-explaining. When someone's hurting, the worst thing to say, if I'm feeling hurt because I went and arranged a whole party, so psyched because you were coming over, it was your idea, we're going to watch the fight together, and now I arranged this party and you're nursing somebody and you don't even care about me, and I did this thinking we were buddies. You know, I am really put off, and there's nothing you can do. I am just so hurting. Sometimes they just need to go through a period of feeling hurt, and then they start to remember the better times. If you say, my gosh, you know, I was just tossing that out as a guy thing, and they say, well, listen, we did the party. We ordered the food. We got ribs, and we got chips, and we got, you know, all this delicious food. And you say, oh, my gosh, I had no idea you went through that. You need to be there as do what's called active listening rather than saying, yeah, but we really didn't mean it. The minute you go, yeah, but, you're shifting the focus to yourself rather than really, really hearing the pain that they're going through. If you can hear the pain they're going through and summarize it back to them, oh, my God, I can't believe that you ordered shrimp and you went through all this work and invited my best buddies there, too, and we weren't there for you. I apologize. I can see how upset you've been. So you can give some of those ideas a shot, but even ask them, what does it take? You know, what would you like to do? And maybe plan, say, you know, when you feel like connecting again, or when something comes to your mind, give us a call. So they don't need to answer you right away. Give them some thinking time. Listen,
I like that.
Okay, Deb. Thank you so much for your call. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on The Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by Drs. Kenner and Locke.
One pitfall to nurturing your sensual attraction to your partner is the view that ideal romantic love is separated from the physical, the idea that true love is unsullied, in quotes, by sex. This error usually goes by the name platonic love. In this view, the body is low and corrupt. Thus, the highest form of romantic love is purely spiritual, something floating and ethereal. Platonic love, however, is not romantic love. In a truly romantic relationship, you feel sexual desire and you want sexual fulfillment. The platonic notion of love allows you to feel admiration, but damns you for having a, in quotes, degrading sexual response. This view makes you feel ashamed of sexual feelings. This notion of platonic love destroys romantic love.
Download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com and at amazon.com.